Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo here, and it's an absolute pleasure to have back on VI Talk after a long, long time, Gwyn McCormick from Positive Eye, or well, she is Positive Eye, should I say. Hiya, Gwyn.
Hi there, Jo. Hi, thanks for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. So who is Gwyn McCormick? For anybody who hasn't heard me speak to you before or hasn't come across you in the VI community.
I am Gwyn McCormack, that is true. By profession, my background is as a qualified teacher of children with vision impairments. I used to be part of a peripatetic team. I was a head of service, leading a team of 20 staff, supporting the needs of babies, children, young people with a vision impairment across a local authority. And I did that for many years, and then I think I'm in my 16th year now of business. One day in the middle of the term, I got up from my desk, came home, and decided to set up a business, giving back my experience, knowledge, and enthusiasm to the to support professionals working with children with vision impairment. And so I am a one-woman band. I travel internationally, and I am award-winning as well in the work I've done for the last 15 years in Positive Eye. But my total number of teaching years now, at the age of 62, is 41 years of teaching. And oh. Before I was a teacher of VI, I was a fashion and textiles teacher. Before that, left the national curriculum, and I was a fashion and textiles teacher in my 20s, and then I married and had two boys and left teaching for a few years to stay at home with the boys. Came back in as a teacher of VI when they were bringing children from special schools into mainstream and services were being established. So I have lots of experience, Jo, but I always say I'm not an expert and I don't know it all.
Oh, bless you.
I think I'm always learning.
Oh, I think we all are, aren't we? But 16 years is incredible. And to have come through COVID, I know it affected so many people, but when you're in business on your own, that must have been incredibly challenging.
Oh, so challenging. And I it gives me goosebumps actually to talk about it actually, because on the day when I realised, or the world was realising, that we were all going to be inside for the foreseeable future, you know, my diary had begun to empty the week before, but basically I looked at my diary on that Monday morning, I think it was the 23rd of March, rings a bell, and I thought, yeah. Wow, that's it now, it's emptied. What am I going to do? Well, I am a very productive person by nature, always have been. And I just thought, well, I cannot sit here. I'll just go crazy. I won't know what to do with myself. I always like to be purposeful in my life. So I just thought, what am I going to do? And I decided that I would go online on Facebook and provide story time for families with a character that I'd written stories of. I'd got two stories at the time about Marvin. And really, I know we're going to come back to that in a bit, so I won't say much more there. But I developed a model of literacy over 4 months. I went live 3 times a week for 4 months and gave my time for free for the 4 months, and supported families from around the world at 4 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I did what became the Storytime Show. And gradually, I sort of moved my business online and then started to do practical courses online. I set up two little tables. I bought a good quality webcam. And I was able to carry on delivering my practical approaches and moved online. And really, ever since, I'm now doing more online than I do face-to-face, although I do love face-to-face and I do some. So basically, I innovated and I was not going to go under, and found ways to make my business work online, and have remained successful as the outcome, really. I'm still here to tell the tale.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and kudos to you for that. But you're very creative, aren't you? We were chatting before, and you're a very creative person.
Yes, I always have been, right from being a little girl. I'm not a happy person, I don't think, if I'm not being creative. My mum taught me to sew, as I remember, when I was, I think, 8 years old. I was always a child who played with dolls a lot, and I was really good at imaginary play, and I'd always be in the dressing up box. I loved Mary Poppins when I was 4 years old. I'm that sort of child. I was that sort of little girl.
Yeah.
I always remember playing, hours. I could play hours and entertain myself, and I would always make everything on blue from Blue Peter. I'd always make all the rooms that they did for dolls, and whatever they made, I went and made it.
Yeah.
And then my mum taught me to sew, which, it is a skill that's long gone for many. But I learned to sew, and I then made all my own clothes all the way through my teenage years. And then I taught fashion and textiles, and I did art at college as well. So I've just got this massive creative streak. But I think as a teacher of VI and head of service, I lost it for many years, really, in many ways, because other things took over. And it's been just incredibly joyous to reconnect with my creative side. And certainly my work with the Storytime Show allows that. And also allows me to reconnect with my inner child, which has been just wonderful. So I love being creative. The thing is, Joe, the problem with me is that because I'm such a producer, I can really produce the stuff. So, I've now got a shed in the garden, and I've got a loft full of resources, and all the characters from the Storytime Show. I've got 100 characters that I've made. And,
Fabulous.
and they live in our son Jack in his bedroom in the drawers under the bed. And I really have to go and sort it out because I really can't get any more in. I need to get them all out and organise them and see if I can, tidy up again to get them in. So that is the downside of me because I am such a producer.
So,
I just keep going.
we've mentioned story time a couple of times now. So I think we should tell everybody what I think you should tell everybody what story time is. So that, yeah, let's rewind a little bit and let's let everybody know what story time is.
Oh yeah, well, Joe, it's so much to say. I need to be a nutshell here, because it is so wonderful and so joyous. So, Marvin's Storytime Show is really a bright, coloured, online, accessible story time show. I called it a show because why not? And it's fun, and it's fun to have a show. It's a bright online, high contrast, colourful story time show that's accessible, or as accessible as I can possibly make it as a one-woman band, which has its barriers because I work for myself, and so I have to do all my own technology, and so there are ba some barriers there, but I'm as accessible as I can be, and I have designed it with children with complex needs in mind. So I say the word complex needs to cover any age, any ability, and any need. I don't draw the line in the sand as to who should watch and who this is suitable for. But because I'm a teacher of VI, I follow strategies and employed strategies and developed a structured framework for the show that's underpinned with what I consider to be good teaching and learning practices that will engage children with vision impairment, cerebral vision impairment, but any other need. Children who are deaf blind, children with autism, children with ADHD. There isn't a line drawn in the sand. I mean, I know this works for adults with learning needs as well. It works for children who we would say were more neurotypical. Grandparents love this show. Parents love this show. So it started obviously in COVID, during the pandemic, and really it's based on adventures of a boy called Marvin, and I write stories about Marvin, and he goes on adventures like the farm adventure, the zoo adventure. I think I've written 10 now. And I design bright coloured characters on grey board using acrylic paint and this particular glitter paper that's really sparkly. And they're very vibrant, and I use those, and I bring them into the screen to show the children online. And then there's a story section to the show, where I tell a chapter of the story. And then surrounding that, there are other elements to the show. So it starts with a cheerleader pom-pom welcome, and a very high energy welcome. I'll start with a whoopity-doo, whoop-whoop-whoop, whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop- get your ice cream, take your front row seats for the greatest story time show in the world and ever. And the reason? Because you're here, boys and girls, and it's wonderful to see you. So I use these, I have sort of 4 or 5 cheerleader pom-poms in reds and yellows and pinks attached to wooden spoons, and I've put little bells in because I'm engaging children that I don't know and children who need lots of support to engage. So there's no point being timid and quiet. And then it moves into some different songs that I sing. All the songs are written by our elder son Tom, who is not a professional musician but or singer, but has a natural talent for writing songs, very Mary Poppin-esque, very old-fashioned, Joe, what I'm doing really, but I know it's what children need. And then it moves on to, we meet Marvin, and he comes and says hello, and he's a very kind and helpful little boy who loves to meet new people and make new friends. And we say hello to Marvin, and he waves to the children, and we do a big hello. Hello, 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 hello. You know, it's very energetic. Energy behind it. And I have a rainbow spinner, which is just one of those windmills you buy for your garden. So it's a circle with rainbow coloured ribbons coming from the middle. And I spin it and go, wee, wee, wee. But I do a big countdown, and the visual stimulation from that is second to none. And then we, you know, sing another song, Welcome to the Wonderful World of Marvin. And then I do the story. And more, and then I do a craft, to make a craft on the show, linked to one of the characters I'm talking about in the chapter. And they're all, the crafts, I do them really quickly, and they're all just using basic, you know, craft materials like pom-poms and pipe cleaners and just, you know, dead simple, low-cost things that are easily available from the, you know, your local store. And then we wrap it up with some more, another rainbow spin, and then I sing a goodbye song, and then I sing a song that Tom wrote called Sing from the Bottom of Your Beautiful Heart, which is a song that he wrote for parents. Because one night after the show, because I've also done this show in America across 22 states, working with 22 deafblind projects over there. During that time, I used to ring Tom after the show and I'd say, because I used to do it at 9 o'clock at night, and I say, Tom, it's just been wonderful tonight. And I started to say to everybody, oh, just sing from the bottom of your beautiful hearts. Sing out loud and sing out strong. And, you know, don't worry about not being able, if you don't think you can sing, just sing, you know, just sing.
Yeah.
Children don't thank us for being timid. And they need us to sing because rhythm and song and music is so important to them. And I said, Mum, I'm going to write a song called Sing from the Bottom of Your Beautiful Heart. So basically, I'm not a singer and I'm not an actor, so I just sing the songs using the best voice I've got, because it's not a professional rehearsed performance. It's not a theatre performance, because if it was that, it wouldn't be this wonderful experience for children and families. I want the parents and the teachers to go and feel they can have story time shows at home and in school. So if it becomes too professionally produced and too rehearsed, it loses its energy and it's what it is and what it's meant to be. So I do it from home. I work from home. I have a black screen behind me, a black blind that comes down. So I'm on high contrast background. The characters are high contrast. And I think it works because it's basically one face, which is mine. I wear red lipstick and black eyeliner, so I stand out. I've got black framed glasses. I wear a black hat with a character on the front made of glitter paper. So it might be Fabby the Frog or Melty Morris the Snowman. So whatever story I'm doing, it has the character on the front.
Aww.
A different character for each chapter. I wear a red top and yellow neckerchief tied at the back, so it's like show, makes a little triangle at the front. And I wear red gloves with yellow pom-poms, big 6-centimeter yellow pom-poms on the palm of my glove glued on. And I use these to go, hello, 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 Joe, 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 hello, 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 Joe, 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 hello, 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 Joe. And I move my hands, showing the palms, into the screen, and then I close my palms and open them as I move them in and out to engage the children. They all get a name call. So it's the, I think the high energy, the one plane, the one voice, the one or two characters at most, not loads of movement. They're not looking at ping, pow, background music. It's stripped back so that it makes it easier to know where to look, what they're looking at, and cues them into knowing what they're meant to be looking at. It takes out the complexity. They're not thinking, well, what's going to happen next and where do I have to look? They're just looking at me and the character, or me and Marvin. Marvin is, just to describe Marvin, he is, he has black, is a crochet doll, a puppet really. He has black hair made of wool. He's got pale skin. He's got black round frame glasses. And so it makes his face very high contrast. He's got a black smile. Again, this is just for high contrast. He wears a yellow jumper. And then he's got green shorts and blue boots. Because basically the green and the blue aren't that high contrast. But as I say to everybody, when you meet somebody, you don't look at their... You want to engage the child through your face. So I work on the high contrast face. That's sort of what the show is. But just to go back to the work I did in America, at the end of the pandemic, when I've been doing this for 4 months, I just felt the parents all started to get in touch with me and say, Gwyn, my child's vocalising, I've never seen them attend like this. They're so still and calm during the show. They're blowing kisses to you. They're attending, concentrating. I've never seen them ever do anything like this before in this way with online sessions. It's just amazing. And I just thought, wow. And I was already doing lots of work in America, and I said to my colleagues at the Kentucky Deaf Blind Project, Dr. Donna Carpenter, look, Donna, I'm getting this amazing outcome from the show. How about trying it with your children? And Donna is a very go-ahead person, said, absolutely, Gwyn, we're going to do that. And she brought together all these states from the southeast of America. And they basically worked together, and I ran storytime shows for them. And then the Midwest states got on board. So over 3 years, I've worked with 27 states, and they work as a, I'm part of a family collaborative partnership there now. I produced a national library of storytime shows for them, for any child who's deafblind to access. But I don't want people to think this is just for children who are deafblind. Like I said at the beginning, it's for all children, including children with vision impairment, deafblind, autism. It works for children who read Braille. There's a boy actually in Wisconsin who really loved the show, and other children who access by Braille. you know, that's their you know, media for reading print, for reading words. And you know, this one, but one young man used, who was 13, would read the story ahead, because all the children received a copy of the story. He would read, or the family did, he would read the story in Braille ahead before the show. And then as I'm telling the story and reading the story or performing it, he would follow in Braille. And then he'd watch again on record and sing the songs and dance and read in Braille. And his mum said he just loved the stories of Marvin. So it works for children who are more typically mainstream type children. That's why I don't say, you know, people say to me, what age, what ability? And I say, well, just give them the opportunity to watch the show and be child-led. So, but it does so much more, you know. It's what I think, what the families in America have said to me is, what they've said to me, they want to see this on a world stage because there's nothing for their children, and they want all children around the world to access this story time show, which is a major thing to be asked to do. And they've, you know, they said that it's the bridge to accessible story time for the whole family. So I think what it's done is it's given confidence to the families that they know how to have story time at home. They can make their own little shows at home. They take the elements of whoopity-doo and wee-wee and hello-hello, all the things I do, the little strategies, and weave it into story time at home. So I think it does so much more than, you know, what it says on the tin. It's supporting emotional well-being. It's giving confidence to parents. It's giving confidence to teachers. And it also weaves visual skill development. So it increases visual attention, fixation, scanning, tracking, all the skills that children need to access literacy. So I know that there'll be children on who watch that don't understand the words in the story. Because they just won't. Some will, some won't. But there's so much rhythm, so much colour, that they're developing the skills for access to story time. So it's not just you have to be able to understand the words, you don't need to understand the words. It's the skills you're developing through participation in that story time show session. So it's so much more powerful than meets the eye. And I know so many families, Joe, have come back to me and said, you know, my child normally hand flaps, they don't sit still, but as soon as they see you, as soon as they hear you, they are still and don't move for the whole hour and concentrate, and they just watch the show. And the parents have said to me, I wouldn't have let them, you know, I wasn't going to let them watch it, thought, oh, that won't be suitable. But so glad, I was so glad I did, because they prove me wrong, because it's not what you think it is, and we can so easily make prejudgments and go, oh, well, I won't show it to my child, or I won't show it to my class because it's too loud, it's too noisy, it's too colourful. But I say, just don't judge it. Let them be the guide and let them lead you. It's had a profound impact, I think it's having a profound impact on literacy outcomes now. So lots to say, Jo, there's lots to say about it, really.
There is. I think we could do a full podcast on that, really, couldn't we?
We could.
So I know you wanted to talk about positive looking as well, didn't you?
I do.
So that's another project. So let's talk about that, and then we can talk about how people can get involved or contact you. So, yeah, so tell us all about positive looking.
Yeah, thank you, Jo. So Positive Looking is a programme I wrote 2 years into my business. And essentially, it's ideas and activities to help special school teachers. When I say special school teacher, I mean teachers who work in generic special schools, not special schools for children who are visually impaired, although I would include them as well. So I wrote it for special school teachers, teaching assistants, and teachers of vision impairment, to help everybody understand the areas of visual skill development and how to make sure that visual skills were being promoted. When I was a teacher of VI, Joe, we would go in, and I know I'm not in the day job anymore, but we would go into a school, a special school. We'd take the child down the corridor into the sensory room, do some work, take them back and wave goodbye. And so vision was happening maybe once a week, and that was that session, that vision session. So I wrote this program under headings of visual awareness, visual attention, fixation, tracking, scanning, directed reaching, discrimination of objects and images. And I wrote what it was in a nutshell, what the goals are in a nutshell, what the resources are, ideas for resources like shiny object type resources, and a few activities and what you should be looking for, what should the child be doing with their eyes or their body or their movements to show you that they're making a response. So it's not an assessment tool, and it's not a structured, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. It's cues, it's cueing you in. And basically, over the last 15 years, this program has just become incredibly popular because there's nothing else like it. And it's so simple, so easy to read, so easy to apply. It's simple, possible, and doable all day, every day by everyone. And what it's doing, Joe, is it's moving vision up the agenda for children. Because, in my opinion, and I might be wrong, and other people might disagree, I always felt that vision was at the bottom of the child's agenda. Yet it's the most important sense and the major way a child understands the world. Yet it always seems to be at the bottom of the agenda. So I think because it's given the confidence to educators, it's given them common language, a common framework. And the resources and the starting point is actually building confidence, and it's moving vision up the agenda. And so now it's being used in so many special schools, not just in the UK, but in Iceland, in America, in Australia. It's so well thought of, it's award-winning, and just a game changer. Just yesterday I held a positive looking best practice day. And the presenters are the teachers using the program, and they're sharing how they're using it. And it's been implemented across the whole school for all children. So it works for children with other sensory needs, with autism. It just has a huge impact. And one of the first things that everybody does is start to wear black, and create decluttered environments with black backgrounds, black surfaces, using high contrast resources. So again, there's lots to say about the positive looking program, but it's a game changer, Joe. It really is. It's changing the way we support children who are visually impaired. Again, it works for children with CVI, VI. It's just all children. I don't know. I never knew when I wrote it was going to be so successful. Just like the story time show, I had no idea it was going to do what it's doing. And it's honestly, I don't have it professionally published. I do it in a Word. I sell it as a download, as a Word document, because I'm a one-woman band, and getting that done is cost prohibitive, so I don't. So yeah, I think people just like it because it's given them the idea, or educators like it because it gives them the ideas, the resources, the starting point. And what it's done is it's brought vision into the classroom. So my big thing, Joe, is that I have the luxury of putting my glasses on in the morning, taking them off at night, and accessing the world throughout the day. A child who's visually impaired doesn't have that opportunity. So they have to wait, or historically they've waited for their vision session. Maybe it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and we come along and we do some work to support their vision. And maybe that's the only time of day, possibly, that it's thought about. And I think with positive looking, it's helped people to build it into their everyday living skills. It's all day, every day, by everyone. And the strategies and resources I show are all low cost. There's nothing that's expensive, and it uses strings of light, shiny paper, glittery paper, bright coloured resources. The red gloves with the yellow pom-poms, the rainbow spinner, the cheerleader pom-poms are all part of it. So I think what it's doing is it's making people think differently about vision. And it's not an add-on anymore. It's a And I'm saying it again, I know, but it's the all day, every day by everyone. And vision is everybody's responsibility. It's not just the teaching assistant who works with the child. It's everybody's responsibility. And it's not a 10-minute slot. It's a, how am I accessing my snack time? How am I accessing getting on the bus to go home? How am I accessing putting on my coat? It's all day, every day by everyone. And that's what it's doing. And that's very powerful, I think.
And oh, absolutely.
Like building confidence. A lot of my work, Joe, is all about building confidence in the workforce. We're not necessarily confident, and I think we need, we need the starting point to become confident, and that's what my work does.
Yeah, and I think because we don't have as many specialist schools anymore, you know, children are integrated or tried to be integrated into mainstream schools. It's so important, isn't it? Because, you know, we have specialist teachers who qualified in VI and everything at specialist schools. And, you know, you might have, like you say, a teaching assistant at one part of the day or something, or to help with lessons that are, you know, wholly inaccessible. But actually getting people to think about it, as you say, all day, every day by everyone is just, yeah, I can hear the passion in your voice going, it's lovely.
Well, I know I've had to come to terms with my passion and enthusiasm. I don't really think I realised it until I did Positive Eye. And I can cringe at myself sometimes. But so many people have said, no, Gwyn, it's what we love about you. So, you know, actually, I've grown into me doing what I do. I wasn't always the most confident person, to be honest. I really wasn't in my 30s, definitely in 40s. And I've definitely, you know, found me in this, and building confidence is a very important part of what I do, and accepting who I am and me as an enthusiastic person is something that people love. And yeah, I try not to cringe at myself now and just try to.
No,
I definitely can't help being enthusiastic. I'm not enthusiastic about everything, though, Joe. I have to tell you that, though. There's a lot of things I'm not enthusiastic about. But me and numbers, for example, don't get on. But I run a mile of numbers. But give me something creative, and then I'm a happy woman.
Fabulous. So, Gwyn, how do people, if they want to access any of your work, or, you know, if they want to use any of your, how do they get involved? How do they contact you?
Well, thank you, Jo. Well, I think the best way, I am all over social media.
Yes.
So I'm not hard, if you type in Gwyn McCormack, G-W-Y-N, I'm not, just for people to know, this. I'm actually Gwyneth, but I prefer Gwyn, and it's Gwyn, not Gwen. So it's G-W-Y-N. Sometimes I get called Gwen. And I'm not offended by that, but it's just, if you type in Gwyn McCormack, Mac rather than Mick, I'm sure to come up. But I think I have a website, positiveeye.co.uk. So it's www.positive, P-O-S for sugar, I-T-I-V-E-E-Y-E.co.uk. You should have two E's in the middle, positiveeye.co.uk. Marvin also has a website, which is just Marvin's Storytime Show. Or you find me on Facebook, Gwyneth McCormack, Positive Eye is the best Facebook page to find me on, rather than my business page, Positive Eye. My interactions are based on my personal page. As if you type in Gwyneth McCormack, that's the easiest way of finding me. But I'm on LinkedIn or on Instagram. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't do TikTok. I have drawn the line at TikTok, but for various reasons. But that's the best way to, you know, contact me to talk about what your requirements are and how I can help you. Or, you know, if you want to know more about one of the projects I'm undertaking.
Fabulous. It's been so lovely to talk to you, Gwyn. Yeah, it's been such a long time.
Oh, thank you so much, Jo. I'm so grateful and I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to spread the love, Jo. I'm spreading love and joy and happiness and a can-do approach. You know, I really am. It is my life's work and I'm just very appreciative. It's a challenge being a one-woman band. I make it look really easy, but all opportunities to just share the love. And bring people with me on my bus, the
Yeah.
Posh Fly bus, the Gwyn bus, is the best bus to be on, because it's the journey is to make a difference to children.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gwyn. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.